When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
This is the Tyler Morgan Show on Relentless Daring Media Network.
Welcome back to Land of Bourbon and Bad Decisions. This is the Tyler Morgan Show, live on twitch.tv/Tyler Morgan Show. Or maybe you're checking this out on YouTube. Be sure to go to youtube.com/@TheTylerMorganShow. I don't know why I have to have the at and the duh, but I do. So I say to use it. If you are taking this out on YouTube, please be sure to hit the like button, like the video. Be sure to subscribe, hit the bell for notifications, all that silly jazz that so many people on YouTube get all worked up over. I'm just a humble, humble guy, and if you're watching me, it means the world that you actually care about my opinion. It means a lot. Thank you so very much. You can also check me out on Rumble or listen to the podcast on demand at relentlessdaring.com/podcast or on any of the major podcast platforms. Again, thank you so much for tuning in. But before I get into it, let me tell you about one of my favorite things in all the world, coffee. I know I really love beverages, especially these ones up here above my head. They are so yummy. Love them so much. Might be a little glass of it going on right now. But what gets my day going every day is a big hot cup of coffee. And the finest coffee for me is from American Pride Roasters. American Pride Roasters is a small family-owned company out of Iowa where you put in your order, they roast your beans, they grind them to order, and then ship them out as soon as possible. Now, they have so many great flavors. I am a huge fan of the Thomas Paine Age of Reason Remix, which is 100% pure and delicious Robusta beans. I know a lot of people who are big into coffee. I thought Arabica was the way to go. Well, generally, yes, but these Robusta beans that he uses are just absolutely top-notch, a huge kick of caffeine, great flavor. Check out their selection at aprcoffee.com. See which one of their flavors is right for you. Check them out, aprcoffee.com. Historically, great coffee. Now, I would like to address the situation going on in Jacksonville before I really get started. For those of you who are not following the news this afternoon, in Jacksonville, Florida, there was a shooting. Crazy dude with swastikas on an AR and a handgun drove like 40 miles out of his way to a predominantly black neighborhood in Jacksonville, Florida, shot up a Dollar General, killing three, and then ending his own life after a standoff with police. Now, I don't know anything about the shooter. I can't find any of that other than, like I said, the pictures of the weapons have somehow made it online. Like I said, an AR-15 with swastikas on it. Dude had some manifestos. Apparently, really hates black people. And also, several years ago, he was involuntarily committed under Florida's relatively new law that allows for people to be involuntarily committed. Now, I don't know how much of the manifesto, the hating of black people, comes from some sort of psychosis. And I don't know how much of it is, like I said, what comes from psychosis, what is actually he really believes. because I said, I really don't care. I really don't care to mention the shooter's name, which fortunately that has not been released yet. But the crazy people on the left are already, we had more gun control. This wouldn't be a problem. Blah. Okay, if it wouldn't be a problem, then riddle me this, Batman. Why are states like California, Chicago, Illinois, with super, super strict gun laws, just absolutely lousy with shootings? There's murders all the time in these states. Now, I get it. A lot of these places where the shootings happen are in the big cities. You remove the big cities from the general population, and suddenly their shooting numbers go way down. And I get it. There are people who violate the law in order to get guns to people who should not have guns. You know, you have people who are generally law-abiding citizens, they haven't been caught yet, that they go out of state from Chicago into Indiana, they go to Wisconsin, where it's easier to buy a gun, and they buy them there, and then they bring them back in. Or, if they are a prohibited person, i.e. a felon, or someone who is the subject of a protection order, or any number of reasons that would make you a prohibited person, they have a family member or a friend that does the same thing. I mean, there was a big deal several years ago about the Nashville-Chicago gun pipeline, where basically you have people from Chicago who still have ties with their homies back in the city, generally stationed, and this what happened in one of these cases was they were stationed at Fort Campbell, which is a short 45-minute drive from Nashville. And they go to Nashville, they would buy guns from Nashville, and go right back up to Chicago, and, oh, here's your guns. That's it. This stuff does happen. People will find a way around the laws in order to get guns to commit gun crimes. I suspect that's what this crazy cray-cray person did. And it's absolutely heartbreaking for the families of the victims. It's absolutely heartbreaking for everyone in that community. I mean, the community where this Dollar General was is relatively close to a historically black college or university. And so, you know, you're having the campus police tell students, stay in your dorms, do not come out because it's unsafe. These things affect more than just the victims immediately. It affects the neighborhood. It affects the community. And the left and the gun grabbers want to use it to affect you and I, the people who understand that guns are a tool, that guns are an inherently dangerous object. Guns are a thing that we hold in high regard, not because we have some weird fetish or we are trying to make up for a lack of endowment, so to speak. Oh my gosh. Something hung up in my throat. It did not feel very good. Guns are an item. We understand that there is inherent risk. There is inherent danger. It's like fire. Fire is neither inherently good, inherently bad. However, if you are careless with it, or if you are malicious and using it as a way to go after somebody and to destroy property intentionally, fire is no bueno. But if you're keeping it small, you're keeping it controlled, you're harnessing it to cook with, to heat yourself with, to do crafts that require heat, then fire is not bad. Same thing with guns. If you have a gun and you're using it for self-defense, you are using it to as a sport. You're a sports shooter. You're a hunter. You're a person that who rightfully believes the government is out to, you know, destroy your way of life, and you just want to be ready because it's kind of why we have the Second Amendment, to protect from an oppressive government. All the other things are secondary. It's primarily so you and I, the American people, can go, you know what, Uncle Sam, you're getting a little froggy. We're going to defend ourselves from you if need be. And we are the people who aren't the issue. The people who are the issues are the criminals in Chicago who,
well, there were 37 shootings over the weekend with 5 killed.
In Los Angeles today, there was a gang war between this gang and that gang, and a number of people on both sides were injured and taken to the hospital and are now in police custody. These are the people that we have to worry about. This is where the majority of gun crime exists. Yes, there are people who commit personal cause homicide. A husband who shoots his wife. A neighbor who shoots a neighbor over some stupid dispute. These things do happen. But in comparison to the gang-style violence that exists in big cities with low-income neighborhoods where people turn to gangs and drugs because there ain't nothing else to do there, that is where, I mean, those numbers of the individual small crime, individual attacks for these personal cause homicides pale in comparison to those, you know, inner city, low income, drug riddled areas. So just keep the city of Jacksonville and the families of those victims in your thoughts, in your prayers, and don't let the knuckle butts like Gavin Newsom, who, if you decide that you wanted to order a Patrick Bateman, but you couldn't afford the real Patrick Bateman, so you went to Wish or Temu and you ordered from them, you would get a Gavin Newsom, who is basically a wannabe Patrick Bateman, who was, he was assembled by Chinese slave labor for the lowest amount possible. You know, Patrick Bateman of California was saying that this study shows that in 2022, there were more child gun deaths than any other year. Okay. And then trying to make it honest, apparently the CDC on these numbers did include children from birth all the way up to the age 19, which the last time I checked, 18 and 19 are adults. CDC, do you mind not skewing your numbers just to, oh, it looks so bad. No, that is not the issue. Sorry, my producer's being really loud. So if you're hearing him on the mic while he's in the other room, I apologize. But they do this all the time. If you take out ages 18 and 19 and you add babies from birth to age 1, you'll notice that the gun deaths for that age group drops precipitously. And then if you start looking at the older age of adolescence, say 13 to 17, and then you start comparing those numbers to how many of them were involved in gang activity and this, that, and the other, you'll notice that if you take the ones involved in gang activity and criminal enterprise out, so where now you have school shootings, you have random murder, You have personal cause homicide because one kid has a beef with another kid. When you have those numbers, and it's even smaller. In the same study, it's like has a breakdown. It's like the overwhelming plurality of kids who are killed are black from inner cities. Huh. What else occurs amongst minorities in inner cities? Couldn't be drugs and gangs, would it? And you break down even more where you have suicide in children involving firearms is a smaller percentage than in the general population. Think overall, it's like nearly 60% of gun deaths are by homicide. In children ages 19 to birth, that number drops to like 30%. And then you have accidental deaths, which is slightly larger than the general population, which is like 1%, where like 3.5% of gun deaths with children age 0 to 19, using the CDC's numbers here, is like 3.5%, which makes sense because you hear about little Jimmy was playing with dad's gun and shot himself, shot their, you know, sibling, what have you. But the gun grabbers just jump on this crap so fast. And they have no issues exploiting the dead bodies of whoever is killed. As long as they can have that dead, still steaming body that they can start tap dancing on. These told you guns bad, we told you guns bad, splat, 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 dance on the dead body. They will do it. They don't care. They could give a rat's furry anus about the everything that's going on with these families. As long as they can hold that bleeding body up and go, look, guns did this. They do it. They don't give a rip about anything other than trying to push their own agenda. And hey, you know what? If we have to co-opt the pain and tragedy these families are going through, by God, we'll do it. All right, so I'm going to get off that soapbox because I could do like the full hour ranting about gun grabbers. And I really don't want to because I want to talk about something else where government has also failed horribly, and that would be the Hawaii wildfires on the island of Maui. As we know, fires broke out in Maui, fueled by strong winds that were coming off of a hurricane like 400 miles away. Okay, it seems a little crazy that, you know, a hurricane that far away could have that much of an effect, but, you know, okay, I'll bite. But basically what happens is you have these state-run power facilities, substations, solar farms on the west side of Maui, which is, you know, it's the leeward side of the island. Usually the wind comes from the opposite direction. So this side is relatively dry.
Well, climate change.
Well, actually, you can't really say climate change because it's actually been less dry in Maui this year than in past years. So we'll go on to the next little bit. Add to it, you have a lot of grasses that were brought in by farmers who, well, you know, the cattle just don't really seem to do well on these native grasses. So let's bring in some grasses from the mainland that the cattle do better on. So you have these grasses that are not native. They're very prone to drying out and becoming very fire attractive. They become very flammable during any kind of drought condition. And then you have really old power poles that aren't designed to handle super high winds. So it's a number of things adding up to make a giant problem. In fact, the situation with the grasses has been a known issue for over a decade. State resource managers have gone to the, you know, Hawaii Electric again. It's not a private company called Hawaii Electric. It is the state of Hawaii electrical monopoly. Saying, hey, has some issues with these grasses. And, you know, if something happens with these power lines and you get sparking, it can be a disaster around Lahaina. Well, they were ignored. And then finally, it did happen. There was an issue with a substation. Poles went down. And at which point, Hawaii Electric goes, oh, crap, we've just lost this part of the grid. That means lines are probably down. They kill the power. Fire department goes out. They put out the fire. It's okie dokie. Then the winds pick up, and they pick up. And before the ashes can be fully, you know, put out, sparks are carried off and starts more fires. Wind picks up, it starts blowing those fires, picks up even more, starts snapping more poles that are still charged because, oh, why would we shut off the power during high wind conditions? That just seems like a really crazy idea. So now you're starting to get multiple fires going off, and because as Hawaii Electric's going, oh, crap, and shutting off the grids. Guess what? The pumping stations that are on those grids cannot supply water to the hydrants, to homes. So people cannot go out and go, I ain't leaving. I'm going to soak my house down and hopefully prevent it from catching on fire. Firefighters cannot get water for their trucks. They don't have pumping stations on generators that draw in saline water from the ocean that can be used to put out fires in such crazy catastrophic emergencies. But that would make sense to a crazy, you know, mainlander like myself, that you would have, what's this word, a backup in case something goes down, but you don't really need it during normal, a redundancy. Having redundancies is such a quaint idea. Why would you need redundancies? I don't know. Maybe in case you have all sorts of lines going down, you're having to shut off all this power and people can't get water to the fire engines because there's no water being pumped by the freaking pumping stations. But it gets better. Once people realize, oh crap, there's a fire. They have these wonderful things in Hawaii where they could send out mass notifications to all the cell phones. If you have a cell phone, that is an option you can turn on or turn off. I don't like getting warnings about weather and amber alerts and all the other things you get these mass notifications about. So I turn that function off. I know Hawaii has that function because just a couple years ago, someone sent out a false alarm about the Hawaii Islands being targets for a nuclear attack. Everyone's phones went off. Nuclear bombs inbound. Kiss your ass goodbye. And people went into panic. So I know they had the system, but they didn't alert anyone on that system. Hey, there's wildfires. You need to evacuate Lahaina. Nor did they set off the warnings that they use for whenever there's a tsunami alert. Why did they do it?
Because people are dumb and they will go to higher ground thinking there's a tsunami. They won't see all the flames and the smoke and they'll just go right for it.
And so they didn't set off the alarms because they didn't want people to go to high ground. Which, as one survivor noted, I can't get out, but I have a four-wheel drive truck. I'm going to go up over the flames and move west of them so they're not blowing at me. And guess what? He didn't die in a fiery furnace of burning grass and timber. Weird. Then you have police setting up roadblocks so people cannot go down the only paved road leading out of Lahaina to the highway. You had people who died in their cars because of police roadblocks. You have a woman, and this is possibly the most heartbreaking story of all the ones that I have heard. This woman is working in another town. Her kid is home from school. She hears about the fire. She rushes from her job, gets to the roadblock, and cannot get into Lahaina. She finally says, screw it, pushes past the cops in her flip-flops that are melting as she's trying to walk into the town to find her kid. Someone on a motorcycle picks her up, gets her as close as she can get, and they eventually have to turn back because of the flames, and they go to the evacuation point. 2 days. She waits 2 days because, oh, yeah, we got your kid out. He'll be here in 2 days. He never shows. So she sneaks back in and goes to where her home used to be. The home is not fully destroyed. She finds her son's bedroom. And he is deceased, with his arms wrapped around the family dog. As a dad, I could not imagine what it would be like to lose one of my children. Could not imagine it at all. Much less finding your 14-year-old son in that manner. There are currently several lawsuits going on against Hawaii Electric, as well as they should be going on against other state actors. I think there should be criminal charges going against these state actors because their negligence has cost the lives of well over 100 people. The last story I read is 115 known so far out of 800, and there are 800 still missing. I'm going to presume that they are deceased. And I believe that every one of these state actors. And then you have, on top of all of this, I have it on my phone pulled up. I'm not even going to get into all of it because I'm already starting to get close to a hard break. And I have other things I want to get into after the break. There's evidence now that Hawaii Electric is being told by federal investigators, preserve the evidence where there are lines down, clean up around them, but where there's lines down, there's charring, you leave it there. Because we want to be able to see, okay, this is where it started. This is where there is molten metal from transformers, from power lines, that was thrown off from arcing that could have started a blaze. There's evidence that Hawaii Electric is cleaning it up, and then you have a million and one federal agents coming in from FEMA and everywhere else that are just pushing crap out of the roads to clear the roads. So it's going to make determining a lot of the final, a lot of the actual causes more difficult. I'm going to take a quick break and I will be right back.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Finding your perfect home was hard, but thanks to Burrow, furnishing it has never been easier. Burrow's easy-to-assemble modular sofas and sectionals are made from premium, durable materials, including stain and scratch-resistant fabrics. So they're not just comfortable and stylish, they're built to last. Plus, every single Burrow order ships free right to your door. Right now, get 15% off your first order at burrow.com/ACAST. That's 15% off at burrow.com/ACAST.
All right, so getting back into things, before I really get back into things, remember, if you're watching this on YouTube, please be sure to subscribe and hit the bell, get notifications. Rumble, same thing, subscribe, notifications, or if you're listening to this on podcast, again, please subscribe, rate, and review. It helps the show grow. And before I get started, let me talk to you about another favorite thing of mine. Beard oil, because if you're watching the video on this, you're seeing this nice, luscious beard. Let me move my microphone down a little bit. You're starting to see a little gray pop in there, but you know what? That's all part of getting old. I'm 39, and I look pretty dang good for 39, considering it's been a rough 39 years. But for my beard oil, I go to, again, a small company. When I say a small company run by a single family, that's exactly what it is. It's my nephew and his wife, they run it. It is Blue Collar Beardsman, and I am not getting paid for this. I still pay for my subscription every month like everybody else, and if you subscribe now, you still have a chance to get the new Kentucky Coal Miner monthly scent for the scent for September, because September's Labor Day, and despite what feelings you may have for labor unions and all that, which is why we have Labor Day. This pays honor to Kentucky coal miners because it is the Kentucky coal miner scent. And it is not a lot of coal smell, but another big thing that comes out of Kentucky is bourbon. I'll just ignore that, you know, rye whiskey on these last two bottles and that Japanese whiskey way over there. But what better way to celebrate Kentucky coal miners than a bourbon-scented beard oil? It has notes of bourbon, bourbon cologne, brown sugar, and oak barrels. And the bourbon smell, you get that kind of tangy, kind of vanilla, sweet vanilla, and then you get the brown sugar. It kind of warms it up, gives it kind of almost like a dessert smell to it. Absolutely amazing. I love their beard oils. Again, if you're looking at this on the video, go back and find some of my videos from April when I was still starting to grow out from having just a mustache. This is a beautiful, almost 5 months worth of growth here. So, and I've been using it since I started growing my beard out when they started selling their oils, because hey, if they're going to have beard oils and I want to talk about them, I want to try them, I want to see if I like them. And I love them. They have great scents. that last all day. They don't overpower, and the scents don't just kind of... Plus, it does a great job of conditioning your beard and the skin beneath it. That way you have a nice, lush beard that's soft, well-conditioned, and doesn't get all bristly and start breaking off on you, leave you with the itchy face. So check it out, bluecollarbeardsman.com. All right, so I guess I can't do a show this week without talking about Donald Trump. I really don't want to talk about Donald Trump. I'm tired of talking about Donald Trump, but he's kind of a big figure in politics, especially as a declared presidential candidate. Well, last week, the Fulton County prosecutors released their indictments on Donald Trump and 18 named co-conspirators. And Donald Trump had to turn himself into the Fulton County Jail, where he had to pay bond. I will get to that in just a second. He had to have a mugshot done, fingerprinted, and all that. Well, leave it to the left to get mad, because there are already people on the right who are selling Donald Trump t-shirts, and I'm considering putting one up for sale on the website. I'm considering it, but I really don't know, because I don't want to seem like I'm jumping on this whole, yeah, Donald Trump is innocent, blah, blah, blah. Donald Trump, he's our hero. He will save us from everything. I don't want to be on that. I think a lot of the charges are, pardon the pun, trumped up. And I think there's a lot of political motivation to it, not necessarily he did anything particularly illegal. But that's not for me to decide. But it'd be interesting just to kind of see what happens. Who knows? If you want to buy a Trump shirt, maybe I'll put it up there and I'll do something good with it. Take all that money I make off the Trump shirts and give it to a charity. Maybe Mercury One, maybe Wagons for Warriors, help take care of soldiers and veterans here at home. And Mercury One, I really love them. I remember when my podcast account was at like $30, and then 2 years ago, the whole Afghanistan withdrawal just went to hell in a handbasket. People dying, American citizens being left behind. And I donated the last little bit of money to Mercury One to help get people out of Afghanistan. So maybe if I sell the shirts, I'll split it 50-50, Wagons for Warriors and Mercury One. I'll have to take a look and see about putting together Trump shirts and putting them out there. So, anywho's, to the whole Donald Trump thing. What the left is, like I said, Donald Trump's face already get put on shirts. The lefties are going nuts. Oh my God, you die or cry. You're putting a fake t-shirt, man. Wait, whoa, hold on. Let's slow your roll for just a second. Go to any kind of leftist rally and find the people wearing the pictures of Che Guevara on their shirts, as well as some other notorious leftist thought leaders, activists. If you can't tell from my tone of voice, I am using air quotes if you're not watching this on YouTube or Rumble. But, you have some very, very awful people who are leftists, who are absolutely embraced. Like I said, Che Guevara, a notorious homophobe, a notorious racist, a guy who would have no issues when Fidel Castro put him in charge of a prison And a woman would come in begging for her son, who was picked up as an anti-revolutionary. He would have no issue of leading her over to the window of his office that overlooked the courtyard of the prison. Put in a call and have her son brought out. She would positively identify her kid. And Ernesto Che Guevara would have him summarily executed in front of her just because that's how he gets his jollies. People wear his face. Someone who has a legit record of being a nasty, disgusting, horrible human being who got exactly what he deserved when he was sent to Bolivia to lead a communist revolution there, and the Bolivian forces caught him, had him on his knees begging for his life before putting a bullet in his face. But I digress. So the left can put guys like that on their shirts, but the right can't do that with Donald Trump. I've also seen, been starting to see comparisons of Fulton County in 1960 when they arrested one Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Now, that's getting a little out there making those comparisons. Oh, Trump is just like Dr. King. Got arrested for standing up for what he believes in. And maybe that's true. But you also have to start looking at some of the other stuff going into this indictment. You have people who were Trump surrogates. I don't have his name available to me, but I think it was Black Voices for Trump founder. He was indicted, and he's being held without bail on, like, two piddly charges. Not even the most serious of, like, RICO violations. But apparently he is such a flight risk because one time when being served with a federal subpoena to appear before the January 6th committee. No, it wasn't the January 6th committee. It was the guy who brought the charges in D.C. I can't think of his name right now. But, you know, Trump's biggest foe at this point, the one that, all the morning CNN, MSNBC, CBS, all those people were fawning over. Ah, he's tenacious. He runs triathlons. Ah, I got the vapors just thinking about him. That attorney had someone show up to serve a subpoena to him. And a lot of the articles I read, well, he body slammed him. Okay, I've watched a little bit of pro wrestling in my life. A body slam is not what he did. Did he get physical? Why, yes. It was not a body slam, though. He bumped chests. He got up face to face and just kind of threw his chest out at him like, huh? Chest bumped him. That is totally different than a body slam where you pick someone up and you slam their whole body into the damn ground. But, I mean, it was the Washington Post. They love to spin things to sound more from their point of view than would normally be. So anyways, so you have that guy being held without bail. You have Jenna Ellis, who, as far as I can tell, was doing her job as Trump's attorney and sending notifications on his behalf, doing stuff, you know, and she says in good faith, she was charged. She never even got any correspondence indicating that she would possibly be charged, that she was being talked about. It wasn't until the DA's office released the indictment and the following people are indicted. are hereby indicted Donald J. Trump and the following 18 personnel. And so then her name was on the list. But I love how she owned the mugshot. If you haven't seen it, it's great. Go look it up. Jenna Ellis mugshot, Fulton County. And she just got a big smile on her face like, yeah, whatever. I mean, when did we start going after attorneys? Now, if Fulton County has evidence that she knew she was operating, sending letters and requests and doing everything an attorney would do on behalf of a client in bad faith, she knew Donald Trump was committing a crime and then she did it anyways, then okay, I can kind of see it. But then again, during the indictment, they don't have to prove beyond a reasonable doubt that Donald Trump and all of his co-defendants, pardon me, did anything. They just have to, the preponderance of evidence, and here's the evidence we're showing you. Don't worry about all this weak stuff over here or the stuff that's exculpatory. You're just going to look at what we're showing you, and we're going to give you a narrative. So, yeah, Jenna Ellis, then Donald Trump, he got caught a $200,000 bail. And then, God bless those Krasensteins. If you don't follow the Krasensteins on Twitter, please don't. Don't waste your breath. Don't waste your time. Don't waste the click of a thumb on their follow button. I don't remember which one. Was it Ed or Brian? Either or, a couple gym bros from Florida, who one of them was complaining that when Donald Trump went to throw his bail, he didn't pay the full $200,000. Oh my God. He used a bond agent. Oh my God. I thought Donald Trump was so rich he still had to use a bond agent because that's how he does everything is with debt. Well, not really. These people have no idea how bond agents work. You see, when you go to a bond agent, you either put up collateral. Well, I don't have the cash, but my car's paid off. Okay, put your car up as collateral, then we will pay your bail. And then the court will hold that bail until the end of your legal procedures, whether the case is dismissed, whether you are acquitted of any crimes, whether you are sent to prison because you've been found guilty. You have met the obligation for your bail, so therefore, the bail goes back to the bond agent. Or if you do have the cash, Donald Trump, in this case, paid $20,000. There will probably also be a fee that he charges on top of it, or he gets charged on top of it. Again, I've never had to pay bail. I've never had to use bond agent. I don't know how this works 100%, but I have a better idea of it than the Krasensteins. So Donald Trump, regardless of what happens, he is only out $20,000. As long as he's follows the conditions of his bail and doesn't have it revoked. Because if he has his bail revoked, then that means he owes the bond agent the other $180,000. He shows up to all of his court hearings, shows up for trial, and regardless of outcome, acquittal, conviction, they get their money back. Plus, they have his $20,000 and anything he may have paid on top of it. So, he's not using debt. He's using a system that was put in place to help everybody pay their bail. Now, granted, a lot of bond agents, they have a max that they won't allow you to go that if it's over a certain amount, don't care how much money you throw at me, we don't have that. We don't have that to be able to, to enter into a bond agreement because we have to give the money to the court. So, I mean, Donald Trump did what he had to do. He didn't really have to do it, but it's better than, you know, $200,000. I mean, if I was a billionaire and I was facing charges and I was had the choice of $20,000 and have a bond agent or $200,000, I'm going to take the bond agent and pay the $20,000. It's not a ridiculous idea. But the fact that people are just losing their minds over, he couldn't even pay his own bail. He had to go to a bondsman. Ah, shut up. You would probably do the same thing if in any sort of similar legal predicament. And speaking of predicaments, one thing I didn't know is that apparently here in America, we have an alcohol czar. Yes, that's right. This is an article from the New York Post. Biden's alcohol czar warns new guidance could be only 2 beers a week. Now, keep in mind, this is guidance. It's not going to be law. It's a guidance. Kind of like the food pyramid. You don't have to eat everything on the food pyramid and the amounts they tell you to eat because that would be unhealthy. 5 helpings of carbs a day, depending on how big a helping of the carbs is, it's not necessarily good for you. Make you fat like me. And I love the way this article starts. What the ale? Americans could soon be advised to limit themselves to just 2 drinks per week, top health official warned on Thursday. Don't judge me. This is still my first one of the week. President Biden's alcohol czar, Dr. George Kube, told the Daily Mail that the USDA could revise its alcohol recommendations to match Canada's guidelines. Yes, because that's what we want to do, is we want to be like Canada. We want to speak 2 languages, still be responsible to the Queen, and have no actual civil rights. They say they have civil rights, but ask Jordan Peterson how his freedom of speech is going, considering that a court just ruled that if you belong to any sort of governing body, anything you say in person, in private conversation, on social media, they can police what you say and they can revoke certifications based on that. In January, the Great White North began urging residents to limit alcohol consumption to 2 drinks per week. Since the 1990s, the U.S. has recommended women limit themselves to 1 drink per day and men to 2 drinks per day. However, the guidance is up for review in 2025.
There's health benefits. I think people will start to reevaluate where we're at.
Kube told the Daily Mail of Canada's big experiment with its alcohol guidance. Kube, the director of the National Institute on Alcohol Abuse and Alcoholism, noted there are no benefits to physical health from drinking alcohol.
Most of the benefits people attribute to alcohol, we feel they really have more to do with what someone's eating rather than what they're drinking. So it really has to do with the Mediterranean diet, socioeconomic status that makes you able to afford the kind of diet and make your own fresh food and so forth.
For those who don't know, a Mediterranean diet, which is high in fats and proteins but low in carbohydrates, is touted as an overall healthy diet.
Yes, that's why I don't eat it. I like my red meats that are high in fats and proteins, and by God, if I want a potato and a loaf of bread for my dinner, I will do it. I know I just talked about carbs and being bad, but I like bread. Don't judge me.
The lifestyle has been said to protect against inflammation and heart disease. Socioeconomic status has also been linked to health. Yes. No kidding. Really? You mean if you're poor, it's cheaper to buy processed foods that are full of chemicals and not particularly healthy than to buy the healthy stuff. Even buying canned vegetables, which have less nutrients than fresh. Really? Huh. Gee, I wonder who has made that possible. Could it possibly be the government and all the sugar subsidies and corn subsidies that go towards sugar plantations and corn that is grown to be converted into corn syrup, which goes into flavoring and sweetening a lot of drinks and candies and foods? Ah, that couldn't be it. Couldn't be the government getting involved in ruining things like the government always does when they get involved. Poverty is the nation's fourth leading cause of death. There's a link there. I should click on that at some point. Yeah, it's paper, not my phone. Killing an estimated 183,000 Americans, 15 and older, in 2019, according to findings published in April in the Journal of the American Medical Association. I bet you there's more to it than just being poor.
Yeah, with this in mind, most of the benefits kind of disappear on the health side, said Koob, who confessed to enjoying a couple glasses of Chardonnay a week. He did admit the social benefits of alcohol, describing it as a social lubricant.
Yeah, he got some lubricant, and it ain't social at all. His remarks follow several reports warning that Americans are consuming alcohol at an alarming rate. U.S. residents are drinking as much booze now as in the Civil War days, with childless women 35 years old at the most risk of binge drinking. Which, I'm not going to tell a person not to drink. That is a personal choice. Now, if you are a drinker, I do highly recommend against the binge drinking. Believe me, I was at a place called Korea. Binge drinking was a weekly thing, pretty much every Friday or Saturday night, and my liver was so happy to leave that peninsula. However, I said, I don't recommend it. But when the government comes out and complaining about problems they caused because,
oh, we need to get more people growing corn. We'll pay subsidies for people to grow corn. That way we can turn it into really cheap, even cheaper than sugar, high fructose corn syrup.
Huh. And they wonder why even cheap food has gotten worse. Because at least with natural sugar, granted, a lot of it is not great. However, your body is better made to process it than high fructose corn syrup. And it's common sense. If your diet consists of ring-dings and ho-hos, and nothing green and leafy, no meats, fresh or canned, because canned chicken, I love me some canned chicken on occasion, canned tuna fish, then you really have to start making choice. Do you want the cheap ring-dings, or do you want to maybe spend a little extra on a bigger package of meat that you can stretch out for an extra few meals? I mean, and I get it. If you're having to balance between putting food on the table and paying the bill and then buying cheap crap food just so you have something to eat, I get it. I've been there. I'm not exactly Richie Rich over here. So, I mean, that's just kind of where it is, you know, and they want to talk about, you know, alcohol contributing to these poor diets. No. What about an economy that's in the crapper where people turn to alcohol because, It's cheap. It's there. It's a great form of self-medication. I am not advising anyone to self-medicate with alcohol. If you're having issues with depression or other mental health issues, please talk to a medical professional. But the whole idea that, you know,
well, we're going to suggest you only drink this amount. Meanwhile, I will admit that I probably drink more than that, but I'm just saying.
I mean, the whole idea we have an alcohol czar is going to come in and,
well, yeah, you should.
No. That should be one of those common sense things. And I get it, common sense ain't too common. But when the government comes in and says you really should do something, 90% of the time you really shouldn't. That's just me being me. All right, so that's going to wrap it up for this week. Again, thank you so much for tuning in live. If you were here, if you were hanging out in the stream chat there, thank you so much for attending. For those of you who are watching on YouTube, again, for the third time, and you Rumble people too, I'm telling you and the YouTubers at the same time, thank you. Now, please, hit the subscribe button down over there somewhere. Like the video. Hit the bell. Get the notifications. I'll be watching. If you're listening to this on podcast and this is your first time listening, please ask the same four things every week. Number one, please, 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 please subscribe. It means a lot. Once you subscribe, do item number two, please rate it 5 stars. I'll accept 4. 3 and below, we need to have a talk. Hit me up on Twitter at @FakeTylerMorgan or at @RDMediaPods. My DMs are open. You can hit me up. We will discuss why you have to give me 3 or below. Better make it good. Once you have rated it, please write a review. Say something good about the show. Offer some constructive criticism. I can live with it. I'm a grown-up. I'm perfectly capable of doing just that. That way, as the show grows, people start getting this suggested to them by the algorithms. They'll go, oh, okay, it's fairly well rated. What are people saying about it? And they read the reviews. They see people generally like it. And then there's the guy who calls me a wannabe Alex Jones.
Globalists! They're turning the freaking frogs gay!
And I've upset the studio help, if you didn't hear the dogs going off the other room by doing my little Alex Jones impersonation. I apologize. I get sidetracked easily. Maybe if I apply more rye whiskey. No, not helping. But anywho's, once you have rated it and reviewed it, said something nice, preferably not calling me Alex Jones, please share this episode or just share the show with your friends. Tell friends about it. Say, hey, check this guy out. He's really awesome. You also might know a thing or two about whiskey if you want to give him a listen. Maybe you'll check out his other podcast, The Whiskey Pod. Also available on all the major podcast platforms. Anywho's, thank you so much for listening. See you back here this time, same bat channel, and all that jolly good stuff. And as always, stay relentless.
The Tyler Morgan Show is a Relentless Daring Media production. The Tyler Morgan Show is supported by its listeners. To support the show, go to ko-fi.com/Tyler Morgan Show to donate there. Or relentlessdaring.com and hit the donate button at the top of the page to set up your donation. All music used in the Tyler Morgan Show is used with permission from purpleplanet.com. Link in the show notes. 2 Timothy 1:7.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.